With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Alistair.
Yes, Andrew.
Yeah, you people who listen to this podcast, they like comedy, right?
I mean, there's always a chance.
Yeah. Yeah, a good chance. Yeah. Yeah, I'll take those odds.
Why? Is it because, are you asking that because we've got a guest on who's promoting a comedy special that they're about to record?
Yeah, I wasn't, but you know, now that you mention it, that's the perfect segue.
Oh my God, well, let's introduce our guest, Jack Druce.
Hello, everyone.
Jack,
hello,
what
boyos.
Is happening?
I'm recording. What is happening?
What is happening?
What is going on? I'm recording my best of stand-up show on June 29th. So I don't know when this comes out, but probably that'll be very soon after you listen to this.
Yeah.
It's Wednesday, June 29th at Comedy Republic. If you live in Melbourne, this is happening in Melbourne. And if you don't live in Melbourne, it's being recorded, obviously, and you can watch the stand-up special on YouTube in sometime in the future. But if you want to be there live for the thing, it's going to be great. So please come get a ticket to that.
God, I highly recommend the show because this is not just your best of stand-up. This is the best of your stand-up.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And that's very exciting. I mean, it's probably the same thing, right? The best of your stand-up and the best of all stand-up is probably, you know, a Venn diagram that overlaps pretty heavily.
Yeah, I think I've got like 80% of the best bits ever done. Yeah. And then there's like... I don't know. I think Richard Pryor had like one bit that was like kind of in the, you know, it's, I guess it would be in my best hour if I had to do a best of everyone.
Of everybody. But
yeah. So yeah, please come to this. I think it'll be a real good one. I'm terrible at selling any. Stand-up's the worst thing to sell because it's just like come and trust that I'll be funny for a while.
Yeah.
But do that. It will be good.
No, I mean, trust us as well.
You can also go see Jack Druce's sketches that are on various places. Where would I find, like on Jack Druce on Twitter?
Yeah, probably YouTube is the best if you just want to watch them because I don't really tweet. I used to tweet a bunch of jokes and stuff, but I don't really do that anymore.
Yeah,
but,
I'm really glad.
What keywords would you put into YouTube to find Jack Druce's sketches?
Probably the words Jack and Druce in that order.
D-R-U-C-E?
D-R-U-C-E. Yeah. And I'm glad you brought up my name because if you do want to buy a ticket to the taping, you can use the code Drucy and you'll get 10% off. Oh, no, not 10% off. $10 ticket. $10 off.
$10 off a $10 ticket.
No, tickets are $20.
10% off a $10 ticket.
I'm so bad $10, at
selling stuff. Additional $10.
Tickets are $20. If you use the code word Drucy, you'll get a $10 ticket.
And is that so D-R-U-C-E?
So that's 50% off.
Exactly.
With a further 10%.
Is that D-R-U-C-E-Y?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Yes.
So use that and get it.
Now, I mean, Drucy, is that a nickname that you get a lot? Or are you trying to bring that in? Is this your sort of soft launch of...
Wait, Andy, before Jack answers that question, do you think that that's more of a post... opening song kind of question?
You're absolutely right, Alistair.
I was trying to do like an Inception.
I was working Zimmer.
Very, very Zimmerman? Big cruise ship horn.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's unrelated.
You've got a big cruise ship horn.
Yeah,
like
I do right
that's
now.
A part of your body.
Yeah.
Or you were saying it was a tumescence that you had in your pants.
Yeah, I suppose I was going.
For... cruise ship horns.
It's both.
Imagine that every time they honk at you, ejaculate, or you just get aroused.
I mean, you know, going by the honk if you're horny rule,
yeah.
I mean, they probably honk the loudest out of anybody, and we can assume, therefore, that the cruise ship is the horniest of all of
them. Do you think that's how the horn was invented? They needed a horn to display quite exactly how horny they were, and regular cars weren't really doing it?
I think, I think that's what it was. We need a big horn to display the level of horniness.
Yeah.
Therefore, the only vehicle that's going to be big enough to do this is going to be an enormous ocean liner.
Yeah.
We better invent cruise ship travel to communicate.
There's a chance that, you know, because people probably have seen that sign and then they've honked, right?
Mm.
Because they were horny, right? And then, part of the deal, I assume, is that it's you probably, if you're the person honking, you're probably thinking, well, now I'm going to get something out of this.
Yeah.
Because it's like, why would I just want to communicate that I'm horny?
Well, it's very,
I'm assuming that when I honk, I'm going to come, right? This is going to help me reach orgasm, right? Mm-hmm. And then they haven't orgasmed. Mm. And so they've maybe experimented with bigger and bigger horns because maybe that was the problem. The horn wasn't loud enough.
Yeah. Well, this is interesting, isn't it? That the car has a horn, but it doesn't have an ear, you know?
The car doesn't have an ear.
Well, exactly. Mm. You know, the car can communicate its horniness through honking.
Are you thinking that the car is horny? Well,
I mean, when you put it like that, it sounds insane.
Do you think the people holding those signs are talking to the cars?
When we have self-driving cars, do you think they'll like know when they're horny and honk automatically? Like,
I feel like they must have more sophisticated ways of communicating at that point. You know, they'll be able to just like send a packet of encoded data over the internet.
I mean, this feels like it's one of the few tweets I've ever thought of that I think I could get Elon Musk to respond to. Say, tell me. Are Teslas programmed to automatically honk if they're horny? Can they can they read those signs?
I mean, if they're not already, that is absolutely, you know, I love a corporate April Fool's prank.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Let's start lining this up
right
now. But
I think he loves jokes like this. I think the models that have been released are like Model S, Model E, and Model X.
God, that's good. God, that's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the rule of three, isn't it?
It's so funny that he's like, you know, maybe one of the most powerful people to have ever lived.
Sure.
And he's just steals bad memes on Twitter. Like, that's what he does with his day. Like, that's such a stupid thing to do.
Well, have I talked about my theory about electric cars and Elon Musk on the podcast, which is that like cars for a long time were so intimately connected with masculinity and communicating your manliness. Mm. And, you know, the kind of car you drove was, you know, linked and marketed towards what kind of a man you wanted to be. And I think one of the big problems with marketing electric cars is that there wasn't like a version of manliness that could be communicated with them. And I think Elon, part of his entire persona is creating a version of masculinity that, and communicating that and projecting that, that can be like linked back to electric cars in some way to make men feel okay about buying what is, you know, wouldn't otherwise be a very masculine car. So he's got this kind of like alpha, it's a sort of an alpha nerd thing, which is this brand of masculinity that you can then link to his thing and then men can feel okay about it.
They should make an electric transformer. Still beating the shit out of the bad guys and still being cool and got rockets and shit.
Yeah.
That's the kind of masculinity I can get behind.
Yeah, great.
Zipping around, saving the world.
I mean, it's absolutely, you know.
Well, I mean, he almost does that with kind of like, you know, some of the models, you know, they're like sealed so that they can like go underwater and stuff like that, you know.
Totally.
And there's like, you know, some of them makes them bulletproof or whatever like that. But I don't think Elon is any model of masculinity. But I think the only thing about the masculinity that I've seen with those cars, I mean, other than the fact that they're just cool technology, is the fact that you put your foot down and it goes faster than any car on the road.
Yeah, I suppose.
You know, without needing to have a like that. So I mean, yeah, I think the fact that it's kind of like it out muscles other cars.
Yeah. Do you think if they added like not an engine that produces noise to do its job, but just a sound effect of like a sci-fi kind of that kind of thing? Like that's what my brain thinks an electric car should be doing. Just like a generic kind of sci-fi, like sort of noise.
I mean, what you could do is you could, I completely agree. I think you should be able to download those sounds like you would have downloaded a ringtone in 2003.
That's what I would go for. I would go for yip, 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 yip. Yip.
Was the original Crazy Frog somebody pretending to make car noises?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was.
I mean, you know, that would work too.
The original, so
the original Crazy Frog soundtrack or whatever.
So none of the sort of the Crazy Frogs since then have been that.
They might be riffing on that in some way.
Riffing on that an original idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Reinterpreting it.
There should be a Crazy Frog family, shouldn't there? It feels like it's a strange thing that they haven't expanded it into a whole family.
It's amazing they haven't made it into a movie.
Like they would with Donkey Kong. You know, like Donkey Kong, they kind of really, they were like, oh, there's old Kong, there's Grandpa Kong, and there's Diddy Kong, and there's...
If there's a Crazy Frog, I mean, a senile frog seems like, you know, that would be his father. Or maybe his grandfather would be Senile Frog.
Yeah.
there's a whole family of frogs, but he's the only crazy one, and they're all just very worried about him. Like, they all just have normal jobs in offices and go to school, and he's and they're like, oh, is he still... Yeah, you know, he's doing well. He's, you know, look after him, and he's just...
But he's, I mean, in a way, he's doing the best out of all of them.
Well, my kids are a little bit obsessed with Crazy Frog. They really like the Crazy Frog version. Is that amazing?
Yeah. I think that's really exciting.
They really love the Axel F version that... That Crazy Frog does. But Otis has this idea that Crazy Frog is a mime, right? Because Crazy Frog pretends to ride a motorbike, but also does make it seem like they're riding a motorbike. And then people are chasing them and trying to destroy them. So,
is this in the video? I'm not sure if I remember all the details.
Yeah, Crazy Frog is sort of pretending to ride a motorbike, but also does ride away.
Yeah.
And so for some reason, I think there's these two elements, that it is a mime that speaks, but kind of speaks in ding-dings and blah, blah, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But then also, there's all these people that want to destroy it, but also... He's a mime. You know, and it is an interesting element, you know, a superhero of some sort, or at least somebody who people want to destroy, which I think a lot of people hate Crazy Frog enough to the point where they would want to destroy it.
Mm. But I mean, he's a mime.
That's his power.
Pretty cool superhero power is the ability to mime something and make it reality.
Yeah.
Like that your mime is good enough that it can actually not only convince, you know, the audience that you're carrying an invisible briefcase, but then that you'd be able to then like use that briefcase to beat somebody on unconscious or something.
Or sort of present legal documents in a court case that, that could get your client off.
Oh, man.
I love that use of the superpower. How would you mime particularly convincing court documents?
Well, I mean,
are you opening them and then
you
you're
open
like,
the case and then you take out real documents.
Okay, from your briefcase.
Yeah,
sure. I thought I didn't connect that to the briefcase.
No, I think you're like pretending to pick up a piece of paper and then you're like, your reaction to this piece of paper that isn't there is like, you're so overjoyed by how easily this is going to exonerate your client.
Sure.
You're like, oh, okay. And then you convincingly mime passing that to the judge. And then they're like, well, I've seen enough.
Yeah. I assume if you can do bring, bring like this and make it look like you're riding a motorcycle and it actually propels you to the ground, I suppose you could pull out something that is, you act like it is a legal document that will exonerate your client and hand it to the judge that it actually will work. He'll look over
If you're a convincing enough mime, that should work.
Well, if that's your superpower.
Yeah. Well, no, but even just being a very convincing mime, right? Like you imagine you're going to court, right? And you go in. You've seen this incredible mime out on the street. Like, that guy is so good. He made me believe things were there that weren't there. You fire your lawyer on the spot. You say, I got this guy in. I gave him $50. And then he convincingly mimes having, you know, exonerating evidence or something like that in a way that, God, this would have been useful about 6 months ago when we were writing that comedy festival show about unconventional legal defenses.
Yeah. Sure. Would you say that Crazy Frog is the greatest new superhero of the 21st century?
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, has there been any good new ones? Because, like, a lot of the time, it's like people, you know, just trying to find other ways of adding super speed or flying and things like that. But this is actually miming something into reality. I don't know if I've seen that before.
I would love if they added him to the Avengers or something and everyone got so upset. Like, the Crazy Frog just miming shit. He's the most powerful one. He just mimes. He pretends he's got a super cannon that can destroy everything. And then,
because the same people that will be upset were the same people who are like, this is wokeness gone mad or whatever. And they're going to try to, like, sort of be like, oh, this bothers me in a way that I don't know how to attack it, so I'm yeah, going to yeah. say it's wokeness?
Is it woke?
Is this woke?
Go woke, go broke. Is it woke to put the crazy frog into the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
My whole thing is they should have, like, all those things that people complain about it being too woke. You concede to them, but give them, like, just the most dog shit thing instead. Like, everyone's angry about, like, who's yeah. going to be James Bond, and you're like, all right, fine. You don't want a black James Bond? Fine. It's the crazy frog. It's yeah. James Bond. And
then I think that,
you have like two
incredible.
Movies of the crazy frog.
I, and look, like, I think at this point we've got to start blackmailing the fans. And basically it is like, if anyone complains about this casting, we're going to switch them out digitally for the crazy
yeah,
frog.
Absolutely.
So we had an actor in. Okay, you know, and maybe it was diverse casting of some kind.
Yeah.
We had them do the whole thing, but they had like a little motion sensor suit yeah. using magnets and stuff under their clothes, right? And that and I have a big button. We've rendered yeah. Crazy Frog. I have a big button on my desk. It's a big red button. And basically if a single negative tweet comes out about this casting choice, I'll press that button and it'll instantly become the Crazy Frog with his little – he had a dick, didn't he?
Oh yeah,
the crazy frog.
Yeah.
Yeah, with his little dick.
I assume he didn't even bother to mime pants because his dick would be hidden if he had
yeah.
tried.
Yeah,
that's how effective they would be.
Yeah,
but,
well, I assume the dick is part of the mime, part of his power.
Yeah,
and if he covers that up, then we wouldn't be able to see
it's
it.
The source
and
of his power.
Be, oh
yeah.
wow!
Yeah, everything, anything that he, the mime has to be seen by the eye of his penis.
I guess it's kind of a puppetry of the penis, then, isn't it? In
well, I mean, I guess anything is puppetry of the penis if your puppet has a penis, visible penis.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it could be, or, you know, or if it's saying,
what about this?
I'm a penis.
Penisry of the puppet, okay? And what we do, basically, is we take we take existing puppets
yeah,
and then we just sort of mold them to make them look like a penis.
Well, you know what? What about Big Bird? I think about this. There's not a lot not a lot you have to do. Take away the beak? Is that it? He's already
hang on.
He's a pretty dicky shape.
Is he?
He's got that big. Well, he or she? I'm not even sure. Is Big Bird a girl?
Well, Big Bird, the person inside the costume, their name was Carol, but they were a man.
Yeah.
So it's. I mean, it's ambiguous all the way down.
Yeah. But hi, everybody. I'm Big Bird. It's kind of like, you know, it's a pretty. It's a girly character.
I think Big Bird might be a sort of an androgynous icon.
Yeah.
Non-binary.
Non-NB.
Or do you think androgynous. Yeah, you're right. I was thinking of what's the one where they have no genitals at all? Eunuch.
Sure.
But I guess they got a cloaca.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'd have a cloaca. And maybe it's a type of bird where they both have cloacas and they do that cloacal kiss.
Sure. I mean, that's nice.
You know, that would be the best genital for the non-binaries. And the non-binaries, it would be great if they could have an option of the cloaca.
Yeah.
I'm going to pitch that.
Yeah.
Who are you going to pitch it to?
I don't know. I'm going to go stand on a podium and just start speaking. Yeah.
Can you pitch it on like Shark Tank or something? Like, I think they should have the option of a double cloaca.
A double cloaca.
What do you think?
Investors? Oh, a front cloaca and a back cloaca.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. And you should be able to impregnate yourself through the two.
I think inventing a new genital and patenting it.
Yeah.
But it's a very desirable genital. Everybody agrees that it's better.
Desirable.
You know? I think it's like Apple when they came along with the MagLock connector for the laptop, right?
This is going to be pitched as the MagLock connector of genitals.
Well, look, I actually feel like we've probably already done that on the podcast.
Have we?
Yeah. I don't know, but like
it'd be great for sort of what's this genital? Cloacal scissoring. If they were both kind of
really terrific.
But then of course once you put magnets in there, you're putting a kind of like you're putting a polar thing on there. Which means that
you're doesn't fit with your non-binary.
Yeah,
thing.
Then you're kind of going, well, only the north will fit
the
with a sound.
The MagLock, the great thing about the MagLock connector was that you could flip it around. It didn't matter which way up it went. So I think they worked that out somehow by having multiple prongs in there.
But could you connect two computers together?
But I tell you, what would be terrific would be to have your genitals, your male genitals, your front genital. Right. You know, if that was – because the great thing about the MagLock is that if it gets bumped or whatever, it just comes off and nothing gets damaged. It'd be great if your, you know, penis and balls could be just magnetically connected to your body. And if anybody kicks you, they just go flying.
That's right. And you can just go get them.
Just go get them. Yeah.
You could use a Find My Phone feature to track them down and exactly. find them in a blackberry bush somewhere. Yeah. Just like, oh, got to get all these little prickles out of it. Yeah. You like that?
Correct.
One time me and Andy were walking home from the city in a slightly intoxicated state. And we near the train tracks.
Oh, my God.
And then I thought, wouldn't it be fun if we ran down this hill in the dark? And then turns out at the bottom was just big blackberry bushes. And I was like, Andy! Like that. And I didn't realize until the morning that my phone had fallen out of my pocket.
Lost your phone,
It was in the blackberry bush. And then like I just traced it in the morning. And there was still enough battery power so that it was down near the zoo.
Was it a Find My Phone thing? I thought we just went back and found it.
No, I'd seen that it was there. It was my first Apple. And anyway, we found it. But
imagine if it had been a BlackBerry, though.
That would have been really good.
That would have been really good. Well, then I don't think they had the Find My Phone feature.
No, that's right. That would have been really bad.
Anyway, what I was saying is that when Maglock came out, Apple came out with the Maglock, they patented that. And I think all other laptop companies probably thought that would be so great if we could have that. But if you came out with a new genital that was very, you know, very appealing in that way, everybody would want it. They'd have to go to you to buy the rights to the genital. I don't know what it would look like, but you know.
Do you want me to write down Maglock genitals?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
How would you take off the vulva as well? Would you make the vulva removable like that?
Yeah, I think so. I think it would be unfair if I didn't.
That's true. Okay, Maglock genitals. I mean, how do you picture it as a sketch?
Maglock, is that a pun on Matlock? The detective show that I've only know about from the Simpsons.
You love Matlock. Get ready for the genitals of your dreams with the Maglock genitals. Good news, Matlock fans. Finally.
You'll detachable genitals.
It's like a testimonial of some old man who's like, I love Matlock, but my genitals are always connected to my body. If only someone could help me.
Take them off and put them on the fridge for when I go out for a walk in the park.
Thank you, Maglock.
And Matlock.
So this is the scenario in which we have invented a new genital. Yeah. It is a Maglock style one, but we're exclusively marketing it to fans of the TV show.
We're trying
Matlock.
To do a Matlock sort of crossover branding.
Sure. Connection. Merchandising, you know. Great.
Well, and also somehow we just got to the top of the search engine optimization of Matlock because it always Maglock always auto-corrected. Did you mean Matlock? And so we're like, all right, well, I guess we better just try and do that.
Yeah.
We got to do is like that deep fake kind of like where you get a database of his voice from the show and you got the Matlock guy is just kind of he's like a lawyer, right?
I think he's a lawyer.
And he's like, my genitals can be stored anywhere. So take it from me, Matlock.
So, I mean...
Your Honor, my client's genitals were stuck to his body. Now, this could have been all prevented if he had other options.
Far be it from me to assume that every man needs to have their genitals on them at all times.
Okay, and now if this was a Mr. Show sketch, then we would cut to two people in a share house watching an ad, ad.
Yeah.
And then, like, who is this for? Right, they would be talking.
They'd go, "Who is this for?"
Yeah,
and then they would turn to the other guy, and he would be the number four. Right? Is that
I think that's very. You've absolutely nailed Bob and David's
style of comedy.
Style of comedy.
I think that would have been. They wouldn't have been offended by that at all.
Honestly, I mean, who could have watched that show and predicted that Bob Odenkirk would be the one who had like the incredible crossover success career of, man, I love Bob so much, but his acting style is so strange.
Yeah. I read his audio book. I consumed his book recently.
Is it like a memoir?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I love, you know, when you're doing a podcast and you like,
you veer down, it's like, oh, I can talk about this for an hour and none of it would be funny. Yeah. But it's very good. Highly recommend it if you like Mr. Show, if you like Bob Odenkirk, any of that stuff.
I also listened to it and I loved it because it is also a story of a guy who most of his career is failures.
Yeah.
And it's just trying to get stuff up for years and years and years and failing to get things up or getting something up and then it kind of gets... And then it fails and things like that. And then some guy just keep calling him up one day and being, you know, it's like he gets big breaks. Like the one that crazy thing where he's like, he lives in some small town in the country and then he goes to Chicago because he's like interested in comedy, but he didn't know it was possible. Mm. And he ends up in a bookstore and Del Close just happens to be there, the improv guru. Yeah. And he's like, and he remembers, he just hears the person get referred to as Del. And then he goes, he remembers looking at the Saturday Night Live credits and seeing a name called Del Close.
Yeah.
And he goes, excuse me, sir, are you Del Close?
Yeah.
And he goes, yes. He goes, can I interview you? And then the guy was like, in between jobs, just happened to be just fired from Saturday Night Live. And he's like, yeah, okay, I got nothing else on.
Yeah, yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I love that. And, you know, Del Close would be a great name for an alternative, like different laptop company's Maglock connector as well. it's their
power. It'd be a great magnet to keep on your back for your laptop.
Mm.
You know, like if you could just hold the whole laptop stuck to your back.
Yeah. Actually would be incredible.
If you didn't have to wear a backpack.
Magnets in your back.
Yeah.
Get magnets put in your back. Mm.
It's like the...
and you just clip your laptop straight to your back, just slap it
on your back
onto the skin. I guess it would probably still work through a jumper or something, through the shirt.
You could put it on through the shirt and then put a jacket over it.
This is the first time I've been actually interested in a transhumanism idea.
Get the Del Close magnetized backpack holder.
Of course, but then they could release modes of transport, which are just kind of those old style magnets for picking up cars at junkyards.
Oh, yeah. You know, pick you up with one of them.
Pick you up in the city, like a chairlift kind of thing, like that, and just takes you across and drops you off at the train station.
But by your back.
Yeah. Like this, you just kind of dangle. You're looking at your phone.
Oh, like that. Great.
That's the best.
Yeah.
That's way better than a cable car.
Gosh, I hope Elon is listening to this episode.
Elon, I hope you're listening. I hope we didn't say too many nasty things about him early on. This would be really upsetting if he actually listened.
He'd invented a new type of masculinity.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. That's but then I did kind of go, I'm not sure. And then I went, sorry about that.
Yeah, no, that's okay. No,
I probably ruined our chances. But anyway, it could go in a vacuum chamber, like the Hyperloop or whatever.
Sure. I mean, these people could suffocate if you want.
Well, I guess it would take less oxygen if you just had a little oxygen mask for yourself.
Well, maybe they could be like those maglev trains, right? Mm. And then they could be also frictionless and they could just be hovering
on your back.
On your back.
Getting like sort of traveling along 300 kilometers an hour.
Blasted across Japan, like lying on your back. That would be great.
Yeah.
And it could hold your laptop.
That's
double trouble.
That you go past the Shinkansen, like that, two tracks next to each other, obviously. Like that, you're traveling 600 kilometers. Like, obviously, you'd have a hood on.
The Shinkansen doesn't go at 600 kilometers per hour.
Maybe they're building one that is going, but I think it goes 300 and something.
Yeah.
But there are, I think there are some trains in France that go 500-600.
No.
I think so.
No, I can't. I refuse to believe that.
Okay.
Even if you showed me evidence.
even if you showed, that's okay. That's all right. I understand that.
Oh, I was thinking today about how the best conspiracy theory is the one about Paul McCartney from the Beatles being dead. It's incredible. Do you know this one?
I know that one, and I know there's one about Avril Lavigne as well, I believe, that she also is dead and was replaced.
Well, that one's... I mean, that one's not quite as good because what I love about the Paul McCartney one is that he died and they replaced him with someone who looked exactly like him and is as good, if not better, at music.
Yeah.
Like an even more iconic songwriter.
At what point was he supposed to have died?
Before, what's the one where they're walking across the road?
Abbey Road.
Before Abbey Road.
Okay. And then that's right. And he's walking barefoot, which is supposed to be him
Because you go walk into Hades barefoot or something like that.
Yeah, he gets buried barefoot or something like that. Yeah. I don't know. But why would they let people know?
Why would they leave clues? Why would they put clues in there?
Why are they trying to communicate it?
Well, that, I mean, that is another great element of conspiracy theories, where they look for clues and they find clues that could only be there if people were leaving them for clues. Yeah. Like there was one in the QAnon thing about a woman whose surname was Chandler. Mm. And they were like, see? See Handler. Child Handler.
Yeah.
Like it's right there. Mm. It's in plain sight.
Child Handler.
See? Yeah.
And to get to that, any word that has the letter C in it.
Mm. C, well,
like
C's,
you're already like on, look. Yeah, like they have to stop using the letter C in anything. Otherwise, you're like, see what's happening there?
Yeah.
Child, they're rubbing it in our faces.
Smith. Sex myth.
Mm.
That wanting to have sex with adults is a myth. I get it. I know what they're trying to say, and they're everywhere, these sex myths.
Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the stuff like that, I remember... You know, some of the, there was that some guy who used to be in the comedy scene here who was posting a lot of stuff that I was following, you know, during
COVID.
During COVID and stuff. And one of the ones was like, they were looking at some website of Bill Gates' stuff. And in there, they had, you know, in the document, they said there was something about the population of the earth in however many years. And they were like, that's less than there are now. And I can't remember exactly what they were getting, but they were like, see, they're planning to eliminate most people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't think that's what it means. And I think,
and again, if they were,
yeah,
they wouldn't put that in the document.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, and almost all conspiracies were born out of that, it seemed. Like they were like, it's you misunderstanding a document and then elaborating some huge theory out of it. It's fun times. I mean, I guess you could read, you know, the back of a shampoo bottle and come up with lots of conspiracies. I don't know what information is.
There was a good, just to bring it back to the Beatles replacement thing, there was a really good interview I saw with Pete Best, who was in the Beatles. Like, I think he got replaced by Ringo. He was
That's right.
Well, they were called like the Quarrymen or something like early on. And so he's just like this jaded, angry man who could have been in the Beatles but wasn't. Like,
yes.
It would be so infuriating. But he's on, he's promoting his own music and he's on the David Letterman show and he's like, and David Letterman is like, you know, what was it like, you know, growing up with John Lennon and being in these early days? Like, you must have so many incredible stories. And like, everyone is, like, the audience is so keen to hear, like, you know, a story about, like, young John Lennon and growing up in Liverpool, like this, everyone is so keen for whatever he says. And he just tells this like long story about him and John Lennon painting a roof. And John Lennon, they were meant to do like gloss paint, but John had used matte paint by mistake. And there's like no jokes, nothing happens. And then he just ends it as like, there's gloss paint, but he was using matte paint. Like, pause, like, that's this big reveal. And it's just this amazing moment where it's like Letterman and everyone in the audience, like, collectively understands at the same time. It's like, oh, this is why you're not in the Beatles. Like, you just fucking suck. Like, you have no charisma. It's not fun to be near you. Like, got nothing.
But also,
you need to be cool and interesting to be in the Beatles.
That, I mean, stories about the Beatles before they were the Beatles. It's not interesting. It's when they were the Beatles that was interesting.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you're discovering, right? These guys who were like the most coolest and most interesting people in the world. What was it like before they were that?
Yeah.
Oh, less cool and interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
That is true, but I think, like, I feel like you could get something more than just the type of paint John Lennon used one time.
Well,
some huge reveal in your story. Yeah. What? How is there a sketch in this? Because I do love, I mean, I think that there actually is, that is essentially a sketch. Like, but that, you could almost just do that as a bit of stand-up, that kind of thing, where it's like, everybody realizing. I was like, well, because I mean, I almost would picture Letterman actually going, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, because Letterman is so funny at sort of not putting up with any of that bullshit where it's like,
yeah, yeah.
Jesus Christ. Well, yeah. What was that line he used on
Joaquin Phoenix, I'm yeah. sorry you couldn't be here tonight.
Yeah, I'm sorry you yeah. couldn't be here tonight.
That's the best line yeah. ever.
Mm.
Incredible. But I mean, I wonder if it comes down to Pete Best going on the show and sort of not being prepared, mentally prepared to be asked questions about the Beatles.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He was like, I don't reckon I'll get asked about that tonight. Yeah. I won't gear up for it. I'll just go in and yeah. assume that they do genuinely just want to hear about my music, my new music yeah. I'm doing with the Pete Best Trio, was it?
I think it's a real like good benchmark for success where like big Tonight Show programs are interviewing someone you kicked out of the band like 30 years ago.
Mm.
That's still like your flame has been burning bright enough. They're still getting on TV.
Some reflected glory.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember watching a Metallica documentary and there was a guy who was in like, what would have been the second biggest band at the time? It was like, anyways, I can't remember exactly which one it is, but he was basically...
Pantera?
It might have been Pantera. It could have been, yeah, something like that, right?
How about this? Pantera Bread. Now, it's Panera Bread, that restaurant from America yeah. that I don't know anything about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, I'm listening.
but it's Pantera. Sorry, anyway, carry on.
I mean, look, that is more something than anything. This was just like, this guy was looked over for being in this band. For being
right.
in
I think I have heard about this.
For being in Metallica as the singer or whatever like that. And then that bothered him so much. He went and started another band that became like the second biggest band in heavy metal. And he was still unhappy about not being in Metallica.
Yeah, but I mean, again, Metallica wouldn't have been what it is if you were in it.
Exactly.
And you made something that was, maybe some people thought was better.
Yeah. What is this bread?
Yeah.
What is this bread? Do you know anything about this bread?
No, I think it's interesting though. Like there's so many references like that where I'm in the same boat as you, where I know them from
it's Matlock again.
Comedy and podcasts and American culture that you get in, but then it's just like I couldn't describe if it's a restaurant or a type of bread or a flavor that you would put on bread. Like I just know the word Panera Bread.
I think we should come up with an American podcast. We should start doing an American podcast.
Yeah. It's just called American Podcast.
American Podcast. And we just, it's just mostly just mumbling.
Yeah.
Right? Incoherent sounds. We just go, we just
make up our own American
But then
culture.
Sometimes we say Pantera Bread.
I think it's just
it has to be listenable. You can't.
It's got to be all those references that you don't quite know. It's like, man, I was having a Three Musketeers bar down at Epcot Center the other weekend. And just
all
those
genuine
ones.
References? Or yeah. are you just making those up?
No, they're real ones. They're like, I was down at the Red Lobster getting the, I don't know, I'm trying to think of some more.
On 7 and 42nd Street.
Yeah.
On the corner of 42nd and 3rd.
I do like that idea of having just the streets just having numbers.
Yeah, it's a grid, so you can navigate just using the streets.
Is that what the U2 song "Where the Streets Have No Name"? Is that what that
they
song's about?
Number.
They have a number.
Where the streets have no name.
I hadn't
and
realized
just a
that
numeric that's, symbol.
That's probably it, isn't it? Is it just about New York City?
I don't think so.
No?
I really doubt it. I'm sure he was being metaphorical in some way.
I don't give anybody credit for being smarter than they are. I reckon that would be exactly what that
no,
song.
No, I think it's smarter to say what I just said, which is that.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that I don't reckon it's smarter than that. I reckon. I think by not saying, by that I mean New York City, right? I would. Every time I listen to lyrics, they're worse than I would than I've ever.
It's true that lyrics are really bad.
Yeah,
like they're almost always.
Even the things that are the best lyrics, I would go like what's his name? Your boy won
Bobby D.
won some Nobel Prize or a,
yeah
or whatever it was for literature, for lyrics. And if you listen to them now, like, still, you kind of go, like, there's some nice lines in there, but you also go, this is all bullshit.
A lot of garbage.
There's a lot of, like, you know, it's in, it means nothing because it's just all images. And
well, I was listening to Rocket Man recently.
Yeah.
Elton John. Fantastic song. Now, lyrics by Bernie Taupin, I believe, right? His longtime collaborator. And when you got a guy whose only job is writing the lyrics, right? You're just writing the lyrics, and then Elton is going to make them sound incredible.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but you'd think you try and lift your game. Mm-hmm. So, in Rocket Man, the lyrics are, Mars ain't the kind of place to raise your kids. Yeah. In fact, it's cold as hell, and there's no one there to raise them if you did. Like within the one sentence, it doesn't make sense.
If you
were raising your kids on Mars, there would by definition be someone there to raise them.
But that's not the world that he lives in. You know, you're raising your kids.
Sure.
Probably got a nanny or something like that.
Okay, so that's what it's about.
I don't know.
You can't get good help.
You can't get good help, yeah. I mean, you don't raise your kids when you're in this kind of class. You know, that's why Elon's not creating a paradise for billionaires to go to. It's actually a much worse place to live.
Yeah.
You know, people think that billionaires are going to try to escape to Mars.
No.
It's actually,
I mean, it would make much more sense for the billionaires to ship everyone else off to Mars.
That's much more likely that they're going to ship us all to there. Is there a sketch in that? Have we done that before?
No, I don't think so.
I think I had a nightmare that was kind of that once.
I think that's, I mean, I'm sure something like that has been done in the sci-fi genre. Mm. Like the idea of like, we're all going to Mars, everybody, kids in the car, we're all going to Mars.
Yeah,
and then you blast them off, and you're like, actually,
well, like a Wall-E,
we'll stay here,
like a Wall-E type scenario where they're like, oh, we just got to clean up the Earth, right? And then we'll make
turns
it livable
the
again.
Trash
and then you get them up into space, and you go, finally, we can live here, and you just crash it into the moon or some shit like that.
Straight into the moon.
You know, like, because you got to get everybody to willingly get on there, so you got to make it seem really. It's going to be like a 3-month holiday. It's going to be great. We're all going up into space. We know what we're doing, things like that. And then you just like, I don't know, you decompress the whole thing.
Look, we're all getting in, all the billionaires. Mm. We're all getting into one, just like you. They're going through one. Meanwhile, it's just like a cardboard cutout, and the stairs just go back down the other side. You know, they walk up the stairs, and then, you know. Back down the other side, like I said. There's another set of stairs that go down the other side. They go down those. So they go up the stairs at the front.
Yeah.
Cardboard cut out of a big rocket ship.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Painted very realistic so it looks 3D. You get one of those old screen.
Oh, yeah.
This is like people do that with
Wile E. Coyote style.
Wile E. Coyote style, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, perspective trick or whatever. Okay. They go through the door.
Yeah.
And then I guess there's a sheet or something so people can't see through and see that there's just like a forest on the other side or whatever. And then some more stairs, probably the equivalent number of stairs, just going back down the other side, and then maybe a bus or something to take them away to a different location.
What'd be good? This is all you need, right? You need the cardboard cutout.
Yes, right. Great. Okay. Great. You need me to describe that in any detail?
I think that's really good. I think we've already nailed that. Okay, you need that. Because like, if you wanted to do this on a budget, right? You want to get rid of everybody in the world on a budget.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, they didn't get to be billionaires by spending lots of money.
No, exactly.
No.
I think you'll still need to spend some money.
Sure.
Okay, so then, but maybe you can somehow trick the government into doing it, into paying for it, right? And then you create
this
injection.
That's how you get to be a billionaire.
Right, so then, all you got to do then, once you get through the door, you still got to have like a nice tunnel.
Yeah.
A very spaceship-y tunnel.
Oh, silver foil.
Silver, maybe some white.
Yeah.
Maybe some silver linings.
Lights coming from behind things.
Yeah. And then, in there, there's somebody there, they're going to, we got to give you your space sickness.
Injection.
Yeah, like that.
To stop the space sickness.
Yeah,
that's
to stop
what
the space sickness. Yeah, not to give you space sickness.
No.
And they make that clear.
space sickness
injection. This is the exact word-for-word script that they've been taught to convince people.
And then, but what's in it is actually...
By the way, also, if there's one thing we've learned, really easy to convince everybody on Earth to get an injection.
Maybe we can also do it as a gas.
Sure.
Yeah, but then... what's actually in it and this is the trick here, is a chemical that
is
makes
this the
you
prestige? Is this what we would
this
call
is the prestige?
Prestige?
It's a chemical that makes you want to kill yourself.
Oh, no.
So then you come out, and then you go, oh, it's actually just a forest on the other side. There's doors that close, and it's very soundproof, so you don't hear people saying that.
A chemical that makes you want to kill yourself. So is it just like Lapsang Souchong tea then?
What's that mean?
No, it's just tea that I don't like. It's a really bad tea.
Okay. So bad that you want to kill yourself.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
Even,
then,
even if injected into you.
That's right. Well, it gets to the brain quicker.
Yeah. Because then they go on the other side. Low, they realize, oh, it's just a forest or whatever. And then they go kill themselves in there, right?
Kill themselves in the forest.
Your hands are clean, right? You didn't kill nobody.
I didn't do nothing.
You're the billionaires. You're you've got no guilt on your conscience like that. And so then they just go, they all did it themselves. Yeah. What? Like that. Mm. And then also you're saving money. You don't have to actually send people up into space. It's just all that.
All right. That's a lot of fuel cost. And that's
or whatever
I mean, it's a crowded forest with the trees, people hanging themselves on the trees. But
and you're sleeping like a baby, you know, and all you did was invent a toxin that makes you want to kill yourself and inject it into everyone on Earth.
They decided. It wasn't. Yeah.
I don't know if it makes you want to kill yourself, but I mean, a lot of people want a
don't
lot of stuff.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Yeah. I would say don't kill yourself, even if you want to.
Oh, what, are you going to arrest me for making a thing that makes everyone got what they wanted? Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, here you go.
Yeah, I'm the bad guy here.
Oh, here's my hands. Put the handcuffs on them, I suppose. Never, not a.
I mean, I did this terrible thing. If I did this terrible thing, then I should want to kill myself. And I do, but I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
You see? Really? Now, everyone, let's go around the group and everybody say what they think would have been a funnier answer to a chemical that makes you want to kill yourself than Lapsang Souchong tea.
Okay.
I was really, my mind was racing and I had to come up with something.
Lapsang Souchong.
Lapsang Souchong tea.
You seem to know it very well for somebody who dislikes it.
Okay. Now, Alistair, if you think you could do better, you say a chemical that's a funnier thing.
Bleach.
Okay, that made me laugh more, but I don't know if it's because it's necessarily funny.
Yeah.
Jack Drews.
It's definitely one of those things where it's like, I'm glad you got in there because it's like such a like a placeholder for insert joke.
Absolutely.
Thing.
Yeah. And
but then I was confronted with the fact that it's like, I don't know any
chemicals.
No, but I mean, which but you ones can, would be good,
you know,
or bad.
So what I did was like, you can just pick something that, you know, you personally dislike. So like, I guess, you know, like you could say like, fucking Marmite or something like that, I suppose.
Yeah,
or,
something like a bad TV show or...
A bad TV show, yeah. I mean, do they give out Lux Listing Sydney as a chemical these days? You could say something like that.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Heroin? That's the thing. I don't think that does make you want to kill yourself. I think it makes you want to stay alive so you can do more heroin.
Yeah.
Gives you a reason to live, probably.
I just watched somebody do stand-up about that, about fentanyl, and they're like 100 times stronger than heroin, where people are like the idea that heroin was like some real pussy thing to have, like, and then they've made this other thing that is 100 times more. I don't know. I just want a little soft buzz. I saw somebody just stand up or something on that.
That's funny. Yeah, I got work in the morning, so I'll just have heroin.
I'll have a night off of the fentanyl. We have 5 sketch ideas, so I think we could go to 3 words from a listeners.
I'm excited about this,
Jack, but we have listeners.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes people who submit to our Patreon can submit 3 words. They submit money, and then they can submit 3 words, submit 3 words. And today's listener is Jake Smith.
Jake Smith.
Jake Smith. I could be saying that incorrectly. It could be Jake Sex Smith.
Oh no!
Jacque,
all the pieces are coming together.
Yeah, all of it. Jacque, of course, that's short for Jack Offe. Forget it. I'm so sorry, everybody. Do you want to try to guess? I mean, I don't know if you want to. If you want the assistance of Jack Drews to help.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'd love
guess
that. It's great to have
3 words from a listener. Could be.
Yeah, sure. I would.
If we could work together, we'll get this done. A lot
I would
faster.
Assume it's a word that describes something in nature. Would be my assumption.
Okay, great.
You could be close on this first one.
Yeah, I'm going to say symbiosis.
Oh, no. No!
Fuck!
It's gizzard.
Wow. Oh. That's absolutely a thing in nature.
Yeah.
Great work, Jack. God, you're good at this. Okay, do you want to give me a clue for the next one? I'll try and do better.
I think it's going to rhyme with gizzard.
Yeah, you don't use the word gizzard unless you're rhyming it with lizard.
There's a band that's like the...
King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Yeah, I think there's doing some kind of switcheroo on that maybe.
Well, can I just step in and say that Andy has already said it?
Gizzard, Lizard, Wizard?
Andy, that is all three words.
Yes!
That is all three words.
And that's because Jack's here.
Yeah, I know. Together.
It's incredible. It is so much easier with two people.
Yeah. Jack did all the guiding.
Yeah.
And you did all the guessing. Except for that really bad guess. Symbiosis. That's from man. You know that comes from man. Yeah. Symbiosis.
Symbiosis when two things in nature have a relationship.
That's man's attempt to understand nature.
Sure. And what do you think the word gizzard is?
Oh, very good. You got me.
Gizzard, lizard, wizard.
Yeah.
I mean... All those.
Could you name a single gizzard? Is it a specific type of bird or is it a thing that.
I think it. Is it just a word for the bits in a chicken that you would throw away? I think it's like.
Is that giblets?
Maybe that's giblets.
There's definitely.
What's a gizzard then?
I remember walking around. It was like some area in I think I was in London maybe, and I was walking around. There was like some area where it was all like. Chicken shops, and they kept advertising gizzards, and I'd never seen that anywhere else, but it was like that they were selling gizzards at their shops.
Yes, we do sell gizzards.
Yeah, mate, we got gizzards here. You after some gizzards?
Okay, gizzard, in many birds, the hind part of the stomach, especially modified for grinding food. Modified for grinding food or for grinding food, like food that is ground? It's located between the sac-like crop and the intestine. The gizzard has a thick muscular wall and may contain small stones or gastroliths that function in the mechanical breakdown of the seeds and other foods. So
it is like how a bird can swallow stuff whole and then it just grinds at it. Like we're chewing at the beginning part of eating food. Are they doing that like...
Well, they don't have teeth, right?
They've already gobbled it up and then they're grinding it up once it's in their belly.
What? So they got like a mortar and pestle in there? Like a kind of
Yeah. Like they literally swallow stones, right? And then they go down into their guts and they grind them around in there.
So it's just like from moving around the stones?
Sure.
It's essentially erosion? Do they use erosion for...
I think it's, you know, like a rock tumbler.
Yeah.
Like a rock tumbler.
Hell yeah. That's awesome.
Oh, well then...
I mean, you could do that if you had all your teeth taken out. Right, and you just put some rocks in your mouth, and you could just work them around with the tongue to grind up the food.
But could you just swallow a bunch of razor blades?
Yes,
you know.
Yes, it's the answer. And listeners, yes.
Have a big meal and go running.
If you wanted to digest it properly, then you could do that.
You know, I mean, surely you could just line your stomach with something that's like, you know, like Kevlar or something like that.
Mm.
I know a lot of the absorption of food probably occurs through the lining.
Do you think that those rodeo guys, they probably don't have to chew food as much because it probably does get like worked around in their stomach when they're getting all that bouncing?
Someone probably drops a whole fish into their mouth like a pelican and then they get on that horse and grind it up in their stomach.
Sure, or one of those, a mechanical bull.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this would be a great dining option.
Yeah.
Right? Is that you go to a restaurant where you don't have to chew anything.
Yeah.
The seats around the table, they give you, a couple of razor blades and some rocks.
Yeah.
You swallow those, and then you get on a mechanical bull at the table there, and you put things whole into your mouth. You don't chew them up, and then it works it around in your gizzard.
Yeah. In the finest, French restaurants, like the top Michelin chef's table style ones. Just get all the foods, prepare it in front of you, you get to smell it and everything. And then they sort of
push it all into like a big capsule and they slide that down your throat.
We love a food capsule on this show. We've pitched a lot of creative restaurants that involve food capsules, but I feel like you're saying this like it's a very high-class restaurant. I think this would be for a new kind of low-class restaurant.
Right, right.
Where the food is so bad and so ill-prepared that actually any kind of chewing or mouth experience is a detriment to the overall
it's like,
food.
Like the next stage in fast food. Like McDonald's was like, it's just quick and easy, you know, just you order it up, we chuck it to you, where it's like the next level of that, where it's like, this doesn't even taste like anything. You won't taste it. It'll get ground up in your stomach.
It's like that idea of the future where you swallowed a pill, right? Mm. But this is, you still swallow the full-size food.
Yeah.
Like, but maybe it's like full sardines where you just kind of like, because it's like all slippery and stuff, you just dip it in an oil. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a dipping oil.
Yeah.
Right? And then you can just like that. And
so
just
it's called oilies. They give you anything.
They call them oilies.
No, well, the restaurant's called oilies.
Okay, right. Yeah.
They give you basically anything, and they've got the special, their patented oilies oil.
But if you're on a diet,
they
do have a sort of a water-based lubricant that you can swallow your food
okay.
on.
Yeah.
Like that.
Well, it's not a food oil. It's a motor oil. It's an engine grade oil.
It's a crude oil, and that way we don't have to spend all the energy refining it and things like that. They just kind of, maybe you just get zapped. You get electrodes placed on your ears or on your brain as you go in.
Correct.
Or maybe just like a kind of like that, like the person behind the counter has a bit of a taser.
Yeah.
And it just shocks your brain and turns off its ability to experience flavor for like 10 minutes. And then you open your mouth, and they just kind of like, they have a squirt gun, they squirt some motor oil into your mouth, or crude oil.
Yeah. Like now, what's the advantage of this again? I'm losing sight of why this was good.
It's so you don't have to waste all that time chewing food. Okay. They taser your brain.
Well, and then you put in your razor blades as well.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
instead of like, giving you like, because there's a lot of that single-use plastic. We got to get rid of that.
Yeah. Okay.
And then it's just like you just get like two or three razor blades that will then just slide down in.
Yeah.
Like that. And then you only need to use those. Those are good for
really
like a month.
Hating the swallowing razor blades
and then,
talk, by
and
the
then
way.
They give you like a sausage, or they give you like a sardine or whatever like that, and you just slide it down through the...
And then maybe they strap you into like one of those... seats at like a 4D cinema where you get like the rumbles and the thing, and
that's right,
rumble you up until it's all digested,
like that,
and then like you're good to go.
Or they give you a pogo stick to go back to your car, and then you.
What about this? The only way to get to and from our restaurant is it's like a off-road track, and you're not allowed an off-road vehicle. You have to have like a normal commuter car.
Yeah.
And you drive. It's just like
it's part of the fun of it is that you just ride in this crazy
over the ruts.
Yeah. By the time you get home, it will have all ground up in your stomach.
Sometimes it feels like some dirt roads have created a natural like weird. Ribs.
The corrugation.
It's the corrugation. Have they put that in, or does that
happen? No. That is created by, like the same process, I guess, that would create the ripples on the bottom of those little dimples that you get on the bottom of the water, kind of thing.
Yeah. So, but this is from the.
It's like a resonant frequency of the wheels the going over the bump. So if you start off with a little bit of a bump, right, then the car will go over that. Up and down, right, and put the pressure, you know, at the exact point that we created again, right, and then you get another car coming along, that's doing that over two bumps to create the third bump, and they're all going at the same speed, you know. I think it creates that's what it is.
Everybody's driving perfectly in unison
at the speed limit.
I love that because I remember. No, this is so boring. It's not funny in any way. But when I was at uni and we were designing a little car, we had to make sure that the resonant frequency of the suspension was not the same as the resonant frequency of the car, because then they could combine and create
a
superposition that makes the car jump up in the air.
Anyway,
that actually sounds really cool.
It sounds
like a car that jumps up in the air.
Tesla would be into.
Yeah,
but not the car. Sounds like the man himself.
The man, yeah. He was all about the resonant frequency.
He loved the resonant frequency, right, Jack?
Absolutely.
Jack, do you think that the human gizzard razor blades for the tummy fast food restaurant is something?
Yeah, what are the other words, though?
Yeah.
Wizard
and lizard.
Well, it's a magic place. It's a magical experience.
I mean, the gizzard wizard does sound like a thing that you would swallow to help your body digest food.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. You would see that marketed daytime TV, gizzard wizard. It's a thing. It's got little rotating blades or whatever.
Yeah.
You swallow it down and you know how, like, at a certain point it seems like a lot of the marketing towards older people becomes about being like being regular with your stools.
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't know when that kicks in, when I'm supposed to start worrying about that. When they say regular, is this just exclusive? Is it basically just a way of saying don't get constipated?
I think it just means pooping every day.
You're going to get to poop every day.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I don't even know if I'm regular at the moment. I don't really keep track, but I assume that if you're not regular, it's one of those things where if you're not regular, you know. Right? Maybe. Yeah. And you're out there hanging out
I'm irregular.
Yeah. And then
you're out there to what?
I don't know.
Okay, great.
I can't remember what I was going to say. but so then you can market the idea of something that helps you digest, which I take for granted at this point.
Yeah.
A gizzard wizard would
I think
totally sell it to
where
the
everything we have just described with this restaurant. It's called the Gizzard Wizard, but the third word wasn't king, was it?
No, it was lizard. No,
of course, yeah. Okay, well, I was going to say there could be, it's like an infomercial for that, but it's a king doing it. But I guess now it's a lizard doing it. So our mascot is a lizard, and the lizard's presenting. He's like, hey, has this ever happened to you? And then the picture is someone just enjoying a meal normally. Has this ever happened to you? Well, forget about that. And then you just spend like 5 or 10 minutes explaining exactly everything with the oil dipping and the taser and the razor blades.
I think that's really good.
Yeah.
And I think what's nice about it is that you're watching this and you're like, geez, they've done a good job creating that, 3D animated lizard.
Yeah.
And then we cut to in the studios and we see that it's actually a for real lizard that has invented this product.
Yeah.
And is selling it to humans. Because like it seems like something that would come from such a limited understanding of humanity and what they desire that it could have been invented by a lizard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a lizard learned to talk, and they were like, this is incredible. We were talking lizard. What do you want to do, lizard? And he's like, I'm an entrepreneur. I got a big business. And we're like, well, we're not going to not make this lizard's
you're
business.
You're the first talking lizard. Of course we're going to support you.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course I'm going to invest money into this talking lizard. Yeah. Do you have a bank account yet? Because I need to give you some of my money.
Yeah.
Love it. Love that.
We did it. So I'm going to take us through the sketch ideas for today. Apologies if, some of them don't sound like they're sketches. Could the honk, if you're horny phenomenon, be linked to thinking that the honk will make you come? And then this is not quite...
So what you're expecting.
Yeah. And then, and then extrapolating to, bigger honks and Andy's actual horniness.
I think the thing about cars and not having ears is really promising, and I'm looking forward to turning that into a sketch.
Then we got Crazy Frog is the greatest new superhero of the 20th century, and then we're pitching, I guess, an actual superhero movie and getting him to join into the
man.
Did you write down the Crazy Frog blackmail system where there's just a switch that you can pull that turns the character into the Crazy Frog if enough people get angry at it? I think that's really funny.
Good. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I got lost in all that.
I mean, yeah. Fuck those fans, eh? Isn't it interesting how they've turned out to be the worst thing about movies?
Mm.
People who like them.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a real shame. Oh, well then.
Yeah.
Then we have the Maglock genitals for fans of Matlock.
Yeah.
Then we have the
that's the detail that really gets that over the line for me.
Then we have the Del Close magnetic back magnetic back for holding laptops and transport. Then we have the billionaire scheme to rid the world of people using the fake ship and injecting people with chemical that makes them want to die and want to kill themselves.
Yeah. God, that's a funny idea.
Well, their hands are clean. And then we got the human gizzard razor blades for the tummy. Fast food restaurant. Has this ever happened to you? Eats regular meal, you see. And then, and then lizard came up with it.
I think that's a really good idea because, you know, those infomercials, a lot of the time, they're like, has this ever happened to you? And then there's somebody doing something really fucked that's never happened to anybody. Yeah. Like, that's not a real problem that anybody has. This is the alternate of that, which is you're like, has this really normal thing happened to you? And you, but you present it in such a way that it makes it seem like a problem. Yeah. And people there, maybe people are at home sitting in a chair eating food as they're watching it. And they're like, oh my God, that's happening to me right now.
Yeah.
You've actually increased your potential market by such a huge amount.
Because most people haven't clumsily, you know, tried to carry all their possessions up a ladder at once and then like had a Mr. Bean style, like the ladder's all slippery for some reason and they fall onto the power lines.
Well, they're carrying all their custard up to the top of the ladder, but the custard's leaking out of the plastic bags that they're keeping it in. Pouring all over the steps of the
giant 20-liter bag of custard, and then it keeps piercing holes in it. And the custard's going all over their face and their nostrils, and the custard's getting in their shirt, and it's pouring on the dog on the ground.
Okay. Yeah. So, what's the product that we're producing that's going to solve?
I think
that
it stays on this for like way too long.
I love that it's pouring all over the dog. By the way, I don't know why I love the dog. The dog's going crazy. The dog's chained to the bottom of the ladder as well. Yeah. And so the ladder's, as the dog tries to run away, it's dragging the ladder across the ground, making more custard go.
You know you've made a mistake while you're doing it. You're like in tears, kind of half apologizing.
I don't know why I thought. But you're still climbing higher and higher up this ladder.
I thought it would be good. I don't know whether.
It's like the household custard crane. It is the perfect custard.
It's a catapult.
The custard bag
off
the roof for you. Lifting basket, and it's like a 20-foot high.
Maximum height. Maximum reach.
We'll get your loose custard on any roof, guaranteed.
And then we cut to the footage of the guy using this new product, and his wife comes home and she's so happy to see the custard up so high. Yeah. They start making love immediately.
She's clapping and then they start making
clapping
love.
Clapping and laughing.
Love. Yeah, he's kind of like really putting the moves on her while she continues to clap. Yeah. She's in her neck and things like that.
Yeah,
he starts taking his shirt off and pulling his pants out.
The dog's watching and clapping,
lipping his lips. The custard crane.
Oh, that's the best idea of the entire podcast.
So good!
Wow.
I love that.
Sometimes you got to do a full episode before you get to the before you get warmed up.
And I think it should also have it stays on the original problematic way of getting custard on the roof for like way too long before it reveals a solution. Like, it's got testimonials of people just like covered in blood and custard, like they're just bruises everywhere. God, it's my every day is a living hell for me.
I don't remember life before climbing the ladder with the custard. I assume it was worse. It was better than worse than now.
Oh, my custard's too low.
I now keep my custard in the basement just to make sure I never get this idea again. I'll just have a custard straw instead and pierce it in the bag, but then it kind of forget it. You got to get your custard high. So. My custard shower has no pressure now.
I mean, I don't think there's any reason for it. I don't think they have any motivation for it. Just getting up there, you know? I mean, there are products, obviously, that you have to store below a certain temperature. I don't think there are any products that you have to store above a certain height.
Mm, I guess except for in flood-prone areas.
Mm. Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, some things have to be stored above sea level.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But, babies.
Yeah,
babies. Babies' friends.
Yeah, sometimes. Exactly. Exactly.
Friends are babies. So
I think we're winding down now, aren't we?
Yeah. So should we do the song bit?
June 29th, Comedy Republic, please come. Please buy a ticket. June 29th, code word Drusy. Tickets, comedyrepublic.com or on my Twitter or whatever. Please come.
No, but let's say that one more time. Say it again, Jack.
Sure. June 29th, I'm recording Best Of Stand-Up Show at Comedy Republic in Melbourne. It's right in the city. It's a great venue. It's going to be an awesome show. You can get 50% off with the code word Drusy. Please do that. Please buy a ticket. That would be great.
Have you ever tried the nickname JD? Because you've got the coolest two initials.
I've been given a few. I don't think you can try a nickname.
No.
But people...
Well, you've moved countries. So, like, you are one of those people who would have had the option to, like, do a hard reset and
come in
with a totally new personality and, indeed, a new nickname.
No, I get Drucy a fair bit.
Drucy.
But not... I don't get JD a lot, though.
No. You're not, you know, I don't see you as a JD. I just wanted to know. Like, that option's there if you ever want to, like, get a leather jacket, I think.
What about DW? Yeah. I know, I know that they're not your initials,
The girl from...
The girl from
Arthur.
Arthur, yeah. I think that you do kind of come across more as a DW. Not DW. Her specifically.
Mm.
But could you... I know you can't give yourself a nickname, but could you give yourself a different last name?
Yeah.
What about maybe, that? Also, a different first name, right?
Yeah. Well, you could
move Druce up.
Move Druce up.
Yeah.
To,
if I was changed my name to Druce Winchester.
Yeah. Or Druce.
That's
Whack.
Actually an incredible name.
Yeah.
Druce, it's a good old timey author name.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but yeah, I'd follow him anywhere.
Yeah. Well, me too. We've got a war for Druce Winchester.
Druce Winchester. Yeah, I like that. Then people call you DW.
Yeah.
Because it's also. Druce Winchester does seem like somebody who has dignity.
Mm.
And so then giving you a kind of like cheap nickname like DW kind of is more
undercuts
fun.
Undercuts it. That's
yeah,
cool.
It's real fun.
Yeah.
What if I went by JD Winchester?
Oh, yeah.
And then people was like, what? I was like, oh, it's short for Jack Druce Winchester. But you can call me DW.
People call me DW. Yeah, I like that. I'm going to do it.
You're going to do it?
I'm going to do it, yeah.
All right, great.
Okay. Well, thanks, everybody.
Thanks,
we appreciate you listening to the podcast. I'm going to try and put a link to Jack's show down below in the show notes.
That's a really great idea. Andrew.
And maybe a link to some your Twitter so people can watch your sketches. No, your YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. YouTube. One is great. That would be awesome. Great.
Don't you check out Jack Druce's Twitter.
You stay away from me.
You stay away. That's Jack Druce's Twitter. I don't know why people keep looking at my Twitter. That's my Twitter. All right.
We love you. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.